Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. A couple of quick economy notes that just came in while that newscast was on. Too late to get into that newscast. After all the doom and gloom on the housing price front yesterday, we have this just in the last couple of minutes. Two things. Builders increased construction spending in April, driven by a jump in home remodeling. So maybe people are remodeling because they're not buying or selling, but builders did increase construction spending. And manufacturing activity in the United States grew in May for the 22nd month, but expansion was the slowest in 20 months. So some good, some bad. Manufacturing activity growing in May for the 22nd month in a row, though the expansion was slower than in 20 months. So, you know, mixed economic news over the last few days, not all doom and gloom. And here's what you didn't need to start your day. A World Health Organization report that says cell phones are possibly carcinogenic. Don't panic. Do be confused. The WHO's categories range from carcinogenic to probably carcinogenic to possibly carcinogenic. That now includes cell phones, also talcum powder. They also have a probably not carcinogenic category and non-classifiable. Rob Stein covers environmental health issues for The Washington Post and joins us now to help understand the uncertainties. Hi, Rob. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Nice to be here.
This is an upgrade for the WHO of the cancer risk from cell phones. What was the old category and what's the new one?
Prior to this, the WHO said that there were no risks from cell phone use. So this is really a departure for the WHO.
They previously said there was no risk, and now it jumps into the possibly carcinogenic category. And this is based not on a new study by the WHO, but by an 8-day review, as I understand it, of all the other studies that have been done before.
Right. What this is there's a part of the WHO called the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is an international group that comes together from time to time to review what is known about the carcinogenic properties of different substances. In this case, they convened a panel of 31 scientists from 14 countries to basically review all the literature that's out there, every study that's been done on the subject, to really try to assess what we know at this point.
How extensive is that body of research?
There are hundreds of studies that have been done on the subject. But that said, there really aren't that many really good studies that really tell us in any kind of definitive way what the risks may or may not be from cell phone use. This particular group focused on two big studies that came out recently that indicated there may be some risks of brain tumors from cell phone use, and that's what prompted this categorization.
Listeners, if you have any questions about the World Health Organization study or really review of studies on the possible cancer risk from cell phone use, you can call in right now for Rob Stein, who covers issues like this for The Washington Post and has been looking at this report carefully. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Still on those studies, are there certain studies that are stars on that list that caused the upgrade to possibly carcinogenic?
There's two large studies that were done in the last few years that the panel focused on. One is known as the Interphone study, which was a study that involved 13 countries. And that's really the strongest evidence yet. But even that study, there were a lot of questions about how strong it was, about how reliable the findings were. And that's the study that at least raises the possibility that there might be some risk. And in that study, the heaviest cell phone users did seem to have somewhat increased risk for a type of brain tumor known as a glioma.
How increased risk? How much increased risk? And how heavy were these heaviest cell phone users?
Yeah, in that case, there was they did find a 40% increased risk, and these were people who were, you know, regular cell phone users for many, many minutes a day. But again, there were lots of problems with that study, so that left a lot of questions in people's mind about really whether that really was an increased risk they found, or really was it was just a fluke or something about the data. And it's also important to know that this form of brain cancer is very rare, so that even if there is an increased risk, the risk still remains very low.
So if there's a 1% chance for everybody to get this cancer, it's probably a lot less than that, right?
But
a 1% chance would mean one in every 100 people get this cancer, so it's much less than that. Even if it was 1% and you added 40% to that risk, then it would be 1.4%. Less than 1.5% risk. So I'm just trying to put these numbers in context for people. If you have a tiny risk and you add 40%, you still have a tiny risk.
Exactly. So that's sort of the worst case scenario is what people are thinking, that even if there's an increased risk, it's an increased risk of a very small risk to begin with. So we're not looking at some major risk from using cell phones.
What was one of those uncertainties about the study, one of the doubts, one of the things about that study that cast doubt on it?
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes this such a tough subject to study is that the technology, cell phone technology, is changing so rapidly that it's if you do a study today, tomorrow, what it tells you may not be very useful because the technology is changing, the amount of electromagnetic fields, the levels are dropping. And so it's hard to know whether what you find out from studying cell phone use, for example, this Interphone study, this was done over the last 10 years, but we know that, you know, cell phones have changed a lot in the last 10 years. We used to have these big bulky things that we used to carry around. Now we have these tiny little things that slip into our pockets. And these are very different devices. So, you know, it's hard to know whether what that tells you about the BlackBerry you're carrying around in your pocket today.
Which I think brings up the issue that no scientist seems to have evidence of a mechanism by which cell phones would cause cancer. The waves they emit are not in the category of, say, X-rays or full-body CAT scans, which are known to carry cancer risks. What's the difference between the waves?
Right. These are very weak. That's one of the big questions people have had is that biologically, you know, if you do the studies in animals and cells, the strength of the effect of these waves on cells is so weak that it doesn't seem to be strong enough to really have any impact that would cause cancer, that would, you know, damage DNA in a way that would cause a tumor to form. So biologically, it doesn't make sense at this point. Now, you know, researchers are always careful to say, you know, there's a lot we don't know, and maybe down the road we'll learn more about there might be some effect that these waves are having that we weren't aware of, we didn't really understand, and we'll understand that better in the future. But right now, they really don't know how this could be having any kind of carcinogenic effect.
So let's take our first caller as someone who has heard one possible theory for how it could have a link with cancer. Wade in Manhattan, thank you for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi.
So what do you know?
Hello?
Yes, Wade, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can. I'm sorry. Listen, I read this article about the fact that there was a study that it wasn't the radiation that was possibly causing the tumors, but rather the heat from the phone, that, you know, the heat feeds the blood flow in the area around the ear. And I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about that, because I thought that was fascinating. That it wasn't the radiation, mm-hmm. but maybe it was the heat from holding the phone up to your ear.
Yeah, Rob, what about that? And I've heard the same thing with respect to laptops and your genital area.
Yeah, that is one theory, that it could just be the heat from the device that's having this effect. But there really isn't much evidence to support that theory that would be enough to cause cancer. I mean, heat, you know, can have effect, other kinds of effects, like it can decrease fertility in men, for example. But in terms of being carcinogenic, that doesn't seem to make much sense. There was another study that came out recently from the National Institutes of Health that found that brain activity in the part of the brain right next to your ear where you tend to hold your cell phone tends to increase while the phone is there. And that also raised some concern that maybe that could be, you know, involved. But people really don't know whether that's really having any kind of dangerous effect or not.
I know it's a digression, but on the laptop heat issue, the potential issue is that the heat would decrease fertility in men.
Right, but that's been known for a long time that that heat can have that effect on male fertility in various ways. You know, by wearing different kinds of underwear, for example.
Right. Men going through infertility treatments are sometimes told to wear cold underwear.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or loose-fitting underwear, where it doesn't – it causes much – the temperature to rise as much.
Nelson in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nelson.
Hi. I'm thrilled to be on the show. I have a 10-year-old son who is lobbying hard to get a cell phone because all his buddies are getting them. And I, from years ago, remember concerns about cancer and cell phone usage, and I'm reluctant. So I'm just wondering if there's any – new news about young children, young brains, and cell phone usage.
Nelson, thank you. Were there any studies particular to children? Because certainly in general in the environmental health field, children are seen to be at particular risk for exposures to many things just by the simple fact that their bodies are smaller and still developing.
Right. That's always a concern, that the physiology of children is different than adults. Children are not just little adults. Their bodies are different. Their brains are still developing. And so there's always a concern that anything you do to the brain of a child might have a different effect than what you if you do it to the brain of an adult. And that certainly is a concern. Unfortunately, again, we really just don't know at this point. There have been some studies, but not enough to really tell us for sure one way or the other. There certainly hasn't been anything to say that, yes, there is a concern, that it is dangerous for children. So it's one of these things where you just have to sort of weigh the risk-benefit, do a little risk-benefit analysis. And, you know, there is a benefit for having your child have a cell phone so they can reach you in an emergency or you can reach them in an emergency.
And they can text their friends 350 times a day. Rob Stein is my guest on WNYC. He covers environmental health issues for The Washington Post. We're talking about the World Health Organization's new categorization of cell phones as possibly carcinogenic, just out yesterday, an upgrade from their previous categorization of cell phones, which was that they pose no risk. Let's take another phone call. Robert in Manhattanville. You're on WNYC. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Brian. Could you have your guests comment on two reports that came out yesterday? First, on the NewsHour, there was a doctor, and again, you can go to the website, which was down yesterday, to see that report, and he critiqued the studies, and he said the reason the percentages are low is that some of the studies, particularly the older ones, really have flaws in the way they cover individuals in the study and what happens to them. He was asked as the last question, basically, well, do you use a cell phone? He said, yes, but I will not use it holding it up to my brain. I use a handset or I use hands-free. The other report was in the New York Times, yesterday's health blog, which also analyzed the statistical underpinnings of the studies. So is your guest aware of that, and would he comment on those two, in effect, reports and commentaries?
Right. Good questions. Rob?
Right. That's definitely the case. As I said earlier, there were really two big studies that have raised the most questions. And in both those cases, there have been big questions about the reliability of the data and that analysis. And that's because, again, this is a very difficult subject to study. The technology is changing quickly. You're often relying on people to tell you how much time they spent on the phone. And, you know, people don't remember correctly or they unconsciously can exaggerate for one reason or another. One concern, for example, that people have had is that people who have been diagnosed with brain tumors might think that they spent more time on the phone, on their cell phone, than they actually did because they're searching for some reason why they got a brain tumor. That's why this panel put this in the category of possibly carcinogenic, which basically just says that, you know, there have been some questions raised. We just don't know at this point.
Well, the question that the caller asked about holding the cell phone close to your ear, because then whatever waves may be transmitted or even if it's heat or whatever, you're just closer to the brain as opposed to pulling it away a couple of inches. Is that a recommendation
right,
that experts make to be prudent?
You know, this panel did not make any specific recommendations, but yes, the individual scientists have said, look, if you're worried about it, you know, and you just want to be super cautious, there are some common sense things you can do to just to be on the safe side. One thing would be that, you know, if you can text instead of talking on the phone, text. That way the phone is not right up against your head. If you can use a headset, for example, that keeps the phone farther away from your head so that the impact of any exposure would be lower.
And I think there are stats that actually show that people are texting more and talking less, so that cell phones are actually becoming texting devices more than they're becoming, you know, what we think of as telephones in an old sense.
That's right. That's right. The people's patterns of use are changing, which, again, that's another reason why it makes it so hard to study this, because when you ask people how much time did you use your cell phone, they might be including their texting time.
And there was no indication of thumbs cancer, right?
No, that's right. No thumb tumors have emerged so far.
One of our listeners wants to know, what about with the Bluetooth?
Yeah, the Bluetooth. You know, again, those devices emit have lesser emissions than cell phones. There haven't really been any good studies to tell us one way or another. The thought is that there may be, if there is any risk, there may be less risk with Bluetooth, but we really don't know, again.
How about cordless phones in people's homes as opposed to cell phones? Any studies on those?
Yeah, you know, a lot of these household devices and appliances do emit electromagnetic radiation, and that includes cordless phones. They emit them as well. The emissions are not as strong as cell phones, so the thought is that if there is any risk, it's probably less of a risk, and there haven't been any studies to indicate that that does increase the risk in any way.
So before you go, just do some of the politics of this for me domestically, because now that the study is out, you report that there are calls for immediate action by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the FCC. Who wants what?
Yeah, I mean, the people that have been worried about this have been pushing the FDA and the FCC to take action for a long time. At the very least, you know, there have been some moves, for example, in San Francisco that to require cell phone makers to list the levels of emissions from their cell phones. So far, that hasn't happened and hasn't gone anywhere. Yesterday, I contacted the FDA about this, and they said, you know, right now we don't think there's any problems, but we'll take a look at this latest evidence and review it and try to stay on top of it, and we'll let people know if anything emerges that they should be concerned about.
All right. The WHO upgrades the cancer risk from cell phones to no risk to possibly a risk, but you've heard all those uncertainties and questions about the studies that do exist. Rob Stein covers environmental health issues for The Washington Post. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, is the state of New Jersey about to make it harder to go to the beach? We'll talk to the DEP commissioner about proposed beach access rules. Stay with us.